Outstanding.
Unbelievable.
Really?
So you and your partner, I understand, came up with this riff, basically. I thought of not just Frankenstein, but...
It's Frankenstein.
And the Cliff Robertson Charlie.
I don't remember the Cliff Robertson Charlie, but I will cop to Frankenstein.
Okay. And yet, it has a whole different kind of feel, obviously. Even he doesn't kill the little girl, thank God.
Were you wishing for that?
Well, you think about it when he's in bed with her, sitting there, you wonder, what's he going to do?
Yeah, until he has the memory.
Yeah. So can you talk about how the two of you came up with this? And
well, there's a futurist by the name of Raymond Kurzweil. Right, very famous guy, and he wants to live forever. So he's trying to figure out how to download himself into a computer. That's what he wants to do. So we said, well, we don't quite believe that, but if you're looking for a medium, if you buy into Kurzweil's theory that we're nothing more than the accumulation of the synaptic connections in our brain, which are our memories, and if you could map those, then could you actually reproduce that map in another medium? And we said, well, maybe in another human brain. But this came together with another piece of thinking, which was that my dad, when he was 18 in Innsbruck, fell off a mountain and suffered a very severe insult to his frontal lobe that completely upended his life, because the frontal lobe, as we learn in the movie, is responsible for a lot of things like knowing how to behave and when to behave that way.
Is that the problem with reporters, that we have the bad frontal lobe thing?
I'm not going to get into that.
No.
We said, suppose you had somebody who had a frontal lobe injury as a child, and therefore basically that portion of the brain never developed properly. Could you then put together these ideas of downloading into a medium and do it that way? And therefore creating a character with frontal lobe syndrome who had that blind spot suddenly gave us something to build upon, because you can read the literature. These people have very specific pathologies, right? They are violent. They do not understand. So we said, okay, let's do a hero movie, a Frankenstein hero movie, where you have exactly the wrong guy who has to solve the mission. the only thing that redeems him is that the memories that they put into him to find the MacGuffin of the movie humanize him. So then can you pull off the magic trick of, no matter how violent you are at the beginning, that because of the process of humanization, the audience will forgive the character and cheer for the character in the end? That became our creative goal, and frankly, I don't know what you think about the movie, we think we succeeded.
Were you ever concerned at the beginning of the film that the audience would have to like somebody or at least relate to somebody?
Yes, we were.
How did you deal with that?
Well,
casting Kevin Costner.
Was he always someone you had in mind for the part?
Not at all. Not at all. Because think about how we view Kevin Costner, right? He's the All-American, most recently in Draft Day or whatever, even Dances with Wolves. This is such a good fellow. We thought about all kinds of people, and then...
Jason Statham or something?
No, but...
Gary Oldman?
But like Denzel. Denzel would have been more of a no-brainer in this part, because we've seen the violence, right? We know it's there. So all of a sudden it's Kevin Costner, and then he comes in and you start getting these notes and you understand this guy is amazing. Not only is he an Academy Award-winning director, but he's an amazing actor. And, a lot of the incredible humanity that he brought to the character is all him. There's an unbelievable scene in the pharmacy. He finds Tommy Lee Jones and he wants his pill. He needs his pill. And he takes it. There's a moment where he's trying to get the top off the pill and he doesn't know how to do it. That's Kevin.
That
the guy is a
there.
Genius.
That was all his business.
It's all him. He's a genius. Unbelievable.
And the woman
actor.
Says it's a child.
Yeah, it's childproof. Right, so he found a way to encapsulate the whole conundrum of the character into this piece of behavior. So, you know, I just... I'm amazed by him every day. Every day.
He had me when he punched the guy in the coffee shop. That was,
yeah, I know.
That
was great.
You know how many people
punched the,
to...
the smarmy asshole.
That's
yeah, there were... You
he's
know,
speaking French at the same time.
Yeah, exactly. There were more... I mean, there were
so
scenes shot but taken out.
Did he
out.
Find the script, or did you bring it?
Oh
to
no, they went after.
Oh.
Listen, it was inspired. Inspired. I had no idea how good this guy was.
Is he a hard sell?
Apparently he responded to the script right away. He saw it as a way as something that he wanted to do as a way of breaking out of the box that he's in. You know. Because you don't think about movie stars as being in some kind of box, but they actually are. They are as typed as
yeah,
you know, as anybody else.
And one of the things when I was just asking Ethan Hawke, like, what is the advantage of working with a director 8 times or 3 times that you've been able to do?
Yeah.
And he said those people will let you do things because they know what you can do that anybody else would not allow you
quite
to
right.
do.
Quite right. Quite right.
Because of that box you're
because of that
about.
Box.
Yeah.
No, and listen, you know, we're very, very lucky in our director, Ariel Broman. I mean, he's just amazing. And, you know, this movie requires, because of the paradigm, it requires the action. You must have that. It must be achieved. But the whole movie lives and dies on this relationship between Gal and Kevin and the kid. I mean... You know, when we first went out to London to go on the set for a couple of weeks, Gal had just been shot out. So Ariel had all the rushes of all their scenes together, and we sat one night and watched, and we understood that we had the movie. That because those scenes were emotional and worked, and you believed the relationship, that... Everything else was just going to be window dressing. Everything else is just MacGuffin and plot. And
this was before Wonder Woman. She was cast or not?
Oh, yeah.
Was this way before?
Well, listen. Ariel has known Gal for a long time, right? They're both Israelis.
Oh, I see.
I met Gal 6 years ago or 7 years ago at Passover at his house.
Oh, okay.
When she came to do the first Fast and Furious movies.
Oh, okay.
She, you know.
Okay.
They do a really funny Passover. You know, Passover usually takes like 2 hours. I don't know if you're familiar with it. But the Israeli crew, they speed read it. And they do the whole thing in like 4.5 minutes. It's genius. You get to the food. You do your duty and you get to the food.
It's very funny.
And was this a spec script? Or?
No. Wait a minute. Yes. Yes, it was. Because normally my partner and I didn't write on spec. Most of our career we write, you know.
You'd sell it
we pitch.
Business? Yeah.
We pitch. But this, we were writing it during the strike, which was 2008.
Okay.
Right?
So you couldn't write for somebody.
We couldn't write.
The union rules.
Right.
Okay.
We couldn't write. So we started it then, and it was a long process.
When did you sell it?
Sorry, Kevin was saying he grew out a beard, grew out his hair.
Yeah.
Took a long time, then he got to London. He had to shave it off because of the shooting schedule. Were you aware of that?
No.
And the effort that
you
went into?
No. No, I wasn't aware of any of that.
Were you on the set?
For a couple of weeks.
Writers a lot nearby?
Listen, here's the great thing. You know, they want you when you're going to be helpful, and they don't want you when they don't feel like you're going to be helpful. And they can never tell which you're going to be.
Like a lot of movie stars, are we getting the good one or the bad one today?
Yes. I don't know. But I guess that they weren't too bothered by us. I mean, you know, we have there was a lot of respect shown to us, and we have a huge amount of respect for...
Why London, anyway? I mean, it's a wonderful... It looked good in the movie, and it's wonderful to see.
The movie was not originally written for London, but it could have been written anywhere. Millennium, the financier, has a big deal in London and Europe, and that's where they wanted it to be.
For their tax dollars and whatever.
They
yeah.
said it's London. We said, no problem.
What was
where,
in the script?
Oh, it was... Remember, we spent 8 years writing this movie. It was a lot of places. I think right before it was London, it was D.C.
Okay.
Which would make sense if the CIA... I'm sure London wouldn't be very happy with CIA guys running around shooting...
Can you talk about what, if any, like scientific research went into the process of writing the script?
Okay, so less scientific research went into the process of writing the script than making the script.
Okay.
Because when Ariel wanted to get into making it, he got on the phone with all the guys in the world who were working on this, mostly in Japan, and said, okay, if we're going to actually map the synapses of the brain, how do we do it? And they say, well, that's easy. Because we're doing it.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why they took off Ryan Reynolds' skull, and they put that like pad on it. All that stuff
is real.
This is technology they're developing.
With rats.
With rats. Right. So it was all scaled up. And, you know, movie magic.
So it's not so science fiction.
It's science future. It's science future.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just wondering about Ryan. He's not there for long. We won't probably talk about
somebody
that.
Somebody has
but
to
but
die.
But it's interesting. Such a big star.
A lot of people died.
Yeah.
But
can you talk about that part of it? The casting of him?
Well,
yeah.
Not really, because it's not my area. I mean,
but did you see it as? I don't
know. Well, look. I mean, I think it's great. Look, Ariel, you can ask Ariel when you speak with him about how he got Ryan and blah, blah, blah. But I think it's great when you go into a movie and you go, oh, my God, it's Ryan Reynolds. And, you know, this is what it's going to be about. Mm-hmm. And then he's dead? I think it's great.
Yeah, no, I loved it.
Yeah.
Worked in Psycho.
There you go.
Marion Crane.
Right.
Yes.
Right.
Well, we can't talk about it. Everybody will hate us for
well,
doing
he doesn't
it.
Have big billing on it, actually, does he?
No, they hide the football, which is fine.
Yeah,
I think the audience...
and I think that's a clue right there. If it's not
the trailer is pretty prominent.
Is he?
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, I didn't realize that.
Yeah. Okay.
So,
I don't watch
who gave you notes altogether for this script?
Who didn't give us notes?
Okay, and when the notes came, do you get a choice of whether or not you want to use those notes?
Look, here's the deal. It's not a fight. It's a high-level conversation with very, very smart people. So if you're getting notes from actors, you're getting notes from the studio, if you're getting notes from the director, it never in my career has it ever felt like an assault. Everybody is trying to move this same rock up the hill. And people have strong ideas about what's working and what's not working. And ultimately, you know, the big notes come from the audience. You go to these test screenings and they say, well, we do not understand why X, Y, and Z. And you go, are you kidding me? We tell you in minute 5. We tell you in minute 7. We tell you in minute 14. If they don't get it, you have to respect it. You have to find, a better way.
And were there notes like that in terms of reshooting then for this or not?
There was reshooting of the ending, but not for clarity.
Just to make it happier?
It's all about emotion, you know. It's all about, does the movie zing at you at the end? And, you know, this is a game of nano inches.
Right.
You know,
because at the beginning, that opening scene on the beach, we think he's going to be shot dead.
Right.
And we think, how in the world can he escape standing there unarmed in front of this guy with his super gun?
Right.
You know, and then at the end, it's a big hug.
Right. Exactly.
Did you show this to audiences?
Of course.
And then you rewrote it on what they said?
No, no. But you do make editorial changes based on what they say. You have to.
Like, Kevin seemed to be upset a little. Or at least wistful about the fact that when he escapes from the underwater car, we have lost the little scene where we see him getting rid of his bracelets.
Because?
It stopped the flow of the movie, he said.
But you think about that behavior, it's completely Kevin. Kevin wants to know, okay, if I'm in my handcuffs,
how do I get out of them? Yeah.
And, you know, and where is it? And how do I find a private place to do it? And he's a genius about this, you know. And so it's a moment that he felt good about. And it was a great moment on film.
And it's history.
So much is.
Yeah.
So much is. And, you know, so much stuff that was actually, I'm not going to go into it, but, you end up with an approved greenlit screenplay, and then stuff doesn't get shot, doesn't work, and now you're changing the movie again and shooting, and then you're changing the movie again, and so stuff goes away.
Who finally greenlits the script?
Well, Millennium and Lionsgate. They said this is the version we're going to shoot,
and we'll pay this much money, and let's get it done.
Well, yes, not in that order, but yes.
And what are you working on now or since?
Well, you know, my partner passed away.
I heard.
Doug and I were partners for 30 years. We did a lot of work together, and so I'm on my own.
Did he
have
a heart attack?
Yeah, I dropped down on the beach.
Just like
surfing
Gary Shandling.
Surfing with his kids.
Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Sorry for your loss.
Well, me too. Me too. Because we knew each other a long time. We worked together for a long time. But I'm now writing a 10-part special event for Fox.
Oh.
Called World War III.
Ooh. Based on
nothing.
Okay.
It's made up.
Who are the combatants, I'd like to know?
I'm not telling.
We won't tell anybody.
And is it going to go into production this year, do you think?
Probably not. I mean, it's a special event, so it's off-cycle.
Hmm.
Does that free you up as
far
as the creative process goes?
Yes. Well, in a good way and in a bad way, it means the producers and the network and the studio will think they can do relentless notes and version.
Because we're in no hurry.
Because they're in no hurry.
Yeah.
This
yeah.
can go whenever.
So do you have zombies?
I don't understand zombies.
Okay.
I'm not a zombie person.
Okay.
It's so easy to get away from them. Anyway. World War III. You're not going to tell us anything.
Can't tell you anything.
Casting method.
Well, it can't be cast until they give a code to the...
No, but Ariel's read it, and he'd like to do it, and that would be great for me.
Is Donald Trump going to star in it?
Donald Trump is starring in his own game show.
You might have to rewrite the script if he gets in.
God forbid.
We're taking orders now for Canada. We have openings in Lethbridge and...
Okay, so what is your favorite genre to write? Have you got one?
No. I mean, we were really known as popcorn film writers. That is, it's the kind of movie where you want to go and eat the popcorn. So our three big movies were The Rock, Double Jeopardy.
Was that with
Ashley Judd, Tommy Lee Jones? Number one 5 weeks in a row, domestic. Thank you very much. The Europeans didn't care for it.
Really?
And they were like, "What the fuck is this? You want to kill him? Kill him. What are you bothering us for?" That was a big domestic grocer.
Back in the day when domestic was big.
Back in the day when domestic was big, exactly. And this, but you know, had failures. Those are fun in their own way.
Have you got anything that you and your partner wrote that hasn't been made?
Yeah, a couple of things. A couple of things that may get over the finish line. One is a movie that doesn't actually have a title. It's a movie called Bitches 11. That's the working title for the studio. And it's basically about, and it predates all of these movies like Spy, which is a great, terrific movie.
The Robert Redford.
Melissa
McCarthy.
Melissa McCarthy.
Oh, yeah, of course.
So it's about the eight women that James Bond screwed over and how they get them back. So it's called Bitches.
Brilliant.
But you need Ian Fleming's estate or the.
Well, it's not actually Bond. I mean, it's like Robert Downey Jr. or somebody.
Oh, I see. Okay.
But so there's that, and then there's a movie called Money Plane. which may in fact get made. It's kind of a, it's a Mr. and Mrs. Smith, but a husband and wife repo team that repossess high-end items, and they're getting divorced, but they have to come back together for a big job in South America, and so, you know, you're always trying to save the marriage. Save the marriage.
Do you ever write with stars in mind, like when you did
Had
Double Jeopardy?
I mean, we wrote a movie for, you know, occasionally you get hired by the company that is the production entity for a star. Like, we wrote a movie for Will Smith called Greenbacks. The upside and the downside of that is it's a big gig and it's a big deal, and it was our idea, and it's basically about the guy at the Bureau of Engraving and Printing who's kind of the expert in forgery. And he comes to believe that somebody out there is forging the perfect 100, and nobody believes him. And his problem is he's an agoraphobic. He doesn't go out.
Mm-hmm.
So he has to go out. So you spend a couple of years writing this, and it's a big deal, and it's a big payday, and the studio wants to do it, and Will's company is very excited about it, you know, and the day comes and Will Smith reads the script and says, I don't want to do that.
Even though I paid for it?
Well, the studio paid for it.
Oh, I see.
He doesn't need a reason, you know, it didn't strike his face. So those projects are great, but when he says no, they're just dead.
No, but you're not going to go to somebody else and say...
The studio would have to, in concert with his production company, go out and try and interest another actor, you know. So maybe get this actor, but the studio goes, nah, we don't really care about them this year, you know. So it's the kind of... But the great thing is, these movies never totally go away, right? I mean, for all we know... 6 months from now, somebody could call up and go, you know, Fox could call and say, hey, you remember Greenbacks? Well, Tobey Maguire wants to do it, and we'd like to do it with him. And there you go.
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you
so much.
Thank you. That was great.
Good luck.
Thank you.